T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. So video game addiction has just officially been named a mental health disorder.
You looked right at me when you said that. What are you trying to say? I'm sitting right here.
I know you enjoy your video games. I don't think you've ever played Fortnite, though.
I've not yet played Fortnite, and I don't think I will.
Don't, because that's the one where people aren't sleeping. They're not.
Well, they're losing sleep.
They're losing their jobs, and they're losing their education and friends and family members.
I think I'm out of the demo for that, as we say. I think I'm past the my prime Fortnite age, and then some.
Experts are now recognizing what parents of Fortnite fans have long feared. The World Health Organization, the WHO,
who
has officially added video game addiction to their international classification of diseases of the mental illness.
Now, is it just that game?
No, they say video game addiction. That one, the game Fortnite happens to be up at the front.
See, as a gamer, to me, that's too broad, and I wonder, and maybe you'll illuminate it in this story, is there a line of demarcation between console games, meaning Xbox or PlayStation 4, which is what I have, as opposed to games you play on your phone, as opposed to games you play on your tablet? Because to me, it's all different. A game that I might play on a tablet on an airline flight is different than me sitting down in front of the computer and playing a game like The Sims or Roller Coaster Tycoon or something like that. Now, I don't play any games where I wear a headset and communicate with anybody else. So I think that probably excludes me from this conversation, because I think that's probably one of the requirements of the WHO making this pronouncement.
Well,
I think it's those type of games.
The World Health Organization, they say only a small fraction of video game players will develop gaming disorder. But they've seen some extreme cases, such as video game players, addicts, played for 20 straight hours, missing sleep, missing meals, missing work and school.
Guilty.
And other typical activities. So what's interesting about this is saying that people who are addicted to video games now have a mental illness. You know, it reminds me of, they used to say homosexuality was a mental illness, because such a small percentage of people engage in that lifestyle that it must be some sort of mental illness. Although not that long ago, because people fought to get that taken off of the mental illness, out of that category.
Well, and there's another group of people who used to, and well, actually some still believe that it's a lack of Jesus, that you could, quote, pray the gay away. There are a number of people that is in their, that's in their, the doctrine of their upbringing.
But many
in the fabric of their lives.
Many of us either know someone who's gay or know someone who knows someone who's gay.
Boy, we got off on a different tangent here.
But I'm just saying, in that regard, if they just took that off the mental illness list, but even though it's such a small percentage of people, there's a lot of gay people that are successful in their careers, that are successful in a lot of things. And would you call them mentally ill?
No, and I don't call any form of excessive video game playing, even if it causes you to lose your marriage or your job. I don't call that a mental illness.
Interesting.
Because it's a choice. We've long gotten past the point of, except for those few who say that they that homosexuals just need to have the gay parade away, we've long gotten past the point of using the word choice in terms of sexual orientation.
Yeah,
does anyone still think that it's a choice?
Some people do, and again, I never did. I couldn't imagine someone choosing to live a life where they are going to get all of that reaction.
Exactly.
But
all the lives to choose, who would choose that, right?
But when it comes to video games and people playing and that's all they're doing and they're not doing other things in life and it's interfering with other things in life.
I think there are addictions that can be qualified as mental illness, but I don't believe that excessive video game playing is one of those.
Well, the World Health Organization think so, and they just added it to their list of mental illnesses, video game addiction. I've seen some videos, Brewster, on whether it's Facebook or on social media, of a parent taking a video game away from a kid and the kid losing their mind.
Oh,
sure. I mean losing their minds.
Right. Well,
and I've said on this show, and I've told you this, I used to play video games, and it was.
Oh, you're above that now. Your time is way too valuable.
I never said that, but what's interesting, it's been probably about 10 years now, and the ones that I played the most, I love Madden Football, the
sports games,
and
right.
I love Tiger Woods Golf. Those two games.
See, here's the difference. You have come around on this because you used to completely scoff at the notion that any of the overeating especially, you used to 10 years ago really just totally bristle at anyone referring to that as a disease. And I think it still makes you flinch. It's what do you call it, a disease, a disorder? That is something that you put in there, sexual addiction, smoking, overeating, but that's something that you're physically doing to your body. That is the video games, whether you play them around the clock or not, that is not something that you're physically doing. That's not changing who you are in the way that overeating, sexual addiction, smoking, drugs, you name it. I wouldn't call video game addiction a disease.
Interesting. Well, the issue I always had with calling those things diseases is, I lost my mother to cancer, and I said, that's a disease.
Yeah,
I mean,
want to put emotion into it, and it has nothing, clinical people in Atlanta, Georgia don't sit at the CDC or wherever it is, or the World Health Organization, and sit and do things by emotion. The emotion is taken out of it.
And I agree with that. You have to take emotion out of it.
Right.
But,
well, why don't you do it then?
When you see loved ones die of cancer,
but
and then,
not,
and then
again,
you see someone
again, you can't,
sticking a needle in their arm.
Again, that's not, you don't get to make that assessment. You don't get to use anything that involves emotion in how you deal with someone else's foibles. You just don't.
Well, look, according to the World Health Organization, they say now video game addiction is added to the list of mental illness, and it's funny, 10 years ago when I stopped playing those two video games that I liked, I always said I will use that time to do other things that will better my life. And the funny thing is, looking back, I really haven't. I maybe I should go back to playing video games.
You mean it hasn't turned into bodybuilding over there? Well, like it has been said before, it's not original, but I'll say it now. Game over.
Video game addiction is officially a mental health disorder, according to the WHO.
Who?
Well, the other WHO. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlund Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. In very disappointing news yesterday out of Baton Rouge, The Louisiana House lawmakers refused to legalize sports betting. It's a bill by Metairie Republican Denny Martini, and that bill that easily passed the Louisiana Senate, if it did become law, would have made betting on professional and college sports legal in 20 casinos here in Louisiana. But before it got to the House, for them to vote on, the House Appropriations Committee voted 14-6 to shelve that proposal to allow sports wagering in the state. And now it looks like that bill is dead, and it looks like the legislators in Louisiana have dropped the ball once again. This is going to hurt children. This money would go directly to children, to education. How many times do we hear state lawmakers say, we need more money for children? How many times do we see and hear people in the state of Louisiana say, well, what do you mean you're cutting funding for education? We're cutting more money that goes to education? Boy, Louisiana's last every year or second to last in education. Why can't we have a few more dollars? Do you realize the money that legalized sports gambling would send to education in our country? Millions in our state. Millions and millions and millions of dollars. You know why the House Appropriations Committee shot it down yesterday? Because the people on that committee, well, at least 14 of them, were hearing it from people that own and work in racetracks, people that own video poker machines in their establishment, and they wanted to be able for people to walk into their establishments and legally bet on professional and or college sports. And because all of your backwoods video poker establishments and all of your backwoods other establishments that allow some gambling, since they weren't in Representative State Senator Denny Martini's bill, they said, oh, well, now nobody should be able to get sports gambling. This is incredibly stupid and irresponsible of our Louisiana legislators. They are literally taking money from your children's education. They are taking money from the children. This is millions and millions of dollars going into education in Louisiana. So, because a few backwoods video poker machine owners who have them in their establishment got to about 14 Louisiana House Appropriations Committee members, now everybody loses. I mean, this is very easy how to stop that problem right there. You do one of two things. You grab the House Appropriations Committee and you say, look, this is the first year. We're doing it in 20 casinos like the bill says. And then, you know, if these backwoods bar owners who own video poker machines and some of these horse racetracks that own video poker machines, you know, if they want to get in on the legalized sports gambling, that's something we could add to next year. But no, that wasn't good enough, because evidently some of these people that are on the House Appropriations Committee in the Louisiana legislature, they're controlled by businesses that own video poker. So now what Louisiana sports fans who like to do this are going to have to do this coming football season, go to Mississippi again and spend their money in Mississippi. And the Mississippi school children will now be getting, they are to get plenty of money because Mississippi made this happen. They're not a bunch of morons. Mississippi's legislature made this happen last year. They made it happen last year.
And the impact upon Mississippi's education is yet to be seen. But isn't that the anecdotal thing that they've always said about lotteries? Oh, lotteries are going to fix education because of all that the billions and billions of dollars coming in. Look at our education.
Well, they help.
State lotteries, I mean, state lotteries, state funds generated from lotteries, I don't think are haven't been the cure-all that some thought they would be 25 years ago.
If that's the case, we have crooked people in Louisiana state legislature. There's no doubt about it. There are some people, Louisiana House members, Louisiana senators. This is more on the House of Representatives side, Louisiana state reps. You think it has to be crooked people. There has to be Louisiana state reps now taking some money from these backwoods bar owners.
That's Osterlin, yes. O-S-T-E-R.
L-I-N-G.
Period.
That has to be taking some money or getting something from these backwoods bar owners that have video poker machines in there.
Leave me out of this because I don't know.
And if with the gazillions of dollars that are spent in the state of Louisiana on different lotteries every year, if it hasn't helped education, it's because the Louisiana state legislature is crooked.
It is
that simple. They are the backwoods.
But just back to the lotteries, though, backing out from this outside the shoebox and more of the global image of this, states all across the country who 25, 30 years ago thought that lotteries and that income generated from lotteries was going to fix education, and it hasn't.
Brewster, money doesn't fix things. Money will help things.
Well,
look at how much money they've poured into public school systems in inner cities all over America, from Detroit to before Hurricane Katrina, New Orleans to Oakland to Atlanta. Pouring money into something does not fix things. It's supposed to help things.
But your argument for this, that it should have gone through because of all the money it would generate and all the help and good it would do and kindness and love and
That's the top reason it should.
Okay. But if you use lotteries as the comparative element in this experiment, then
it helps. It doesn't fix. Money helps things. It doesn't fix things.
It would fix a lot of my things.
Well, so these people on the House Appropriations Committee who voted 14-6 yesterday to say no to allow sports wagering in Louisiana, who are these 14 people? And I want them looked into. I want their bank accounts looked into. I really do. I who's paying them? Who is paying them? It's pretty sad that the legislators in Mississippi have their bleep together more than they do in Louisiana. Because this will be look at the money the state of New Jersey is making because of legalized sports gambling. Just look at it. And yeah, the money, some of it should go to schools, and that would help education. But money doesn't fix things. Money would help things, though. You know, they could have either done that. They could have said, you know what, backwoods video poker owners, you hold off for 1 year. Let the 20 casinos who we have in this bill, Harrah's here in New Orleans with the big sports book rooms, let them handle the sports gambling for the first year. And then next year, we'll address adding on more places where people can go and bet on sports. But no, they didn't say that. They just shelved it. You know what the other alternative was? They could have said, all right, every one of these okie-dokie backwoods nothing bars who have video poker machines that now want to get into sports gambling, you know what? Let them. And see what happens. Some would maybe thrive. Others would go out of business. But they, for the second year in a row, they couldn't get it done. Sports, legal sports gambling in Louisiana. And it's a shady, crooked state legislature that is the reason why. Shady. As a political libertarian, I am for personal freedom. I am for personal responsibility. This is happening in state after state after state after state. Not in Louisiana, though. And I think we're still left out. I think we're the only state in the country that can't do the, what is it, DraftKings. It can't do the legalized fantasy sports, which are legal all over America. All over. But not here. And why aren't they legal here? What state lawmaker? Who's not getting paid? Who's not getting paid? Who's not getting their pockets lined? Bunch of stinking crooks in the Louisiana state legislature for shooting this down without coming up with some sort of solution. And I just gave you the two solutions. I just told you, do one of those two things. Either say, look, Harrah's and the other 19 casinos in Louisiana that are in this bill, they're going to be the first ones to have legalized professional and college sports gambling. And then we'll see how it goes for the first year, and then we'll let the okie-dokie backwoods bar owners who have the little corner rooms with the video poker machines, if they want to take sports bets, if they can handle it, we can add them. We can do that next year. But or say, okay, everybody. You want to go to the corner bar in extremely suburban New Orleans or somewhere in Louisiana that has some video poker machines, and you want to bet on professional sports? All right, let them all do it then. Many would go out of business, but they didn't do either of that. They just shelved it for another year, and the millions upon millions upon millions and millions of dollars that would go into education, that would go to children in this state. See you. No more. Oh, and by the way, you got to come up with a budget. You haven't done that. You got a week and a half to go. You got to come up with a budget. I think we need to cut a little more education. What the hell difference does it make? We're 50th in America anyways out of the 50 states when it comes to education. So who the hell cares anyways, right? There are some crooked people on the Louisiana State Legislature. There are some crooked people. And the first ones I'd look at are the 14 on the House Appropriations Committee here in the state of Louisiana who voted to say no when it comes to legalized sports gambling, college and pro sports here in the state of Louisiana.
Can I get 20 on the Reds against Pittsburgh tonight?
Yeah, let me just go to Mississippi after the show.
Okay.
Yeah. Bunch of buffoons in Baton Rouge here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Guns N' Roses bassist Duff McKagan has a new solo album coming out. And he's the guy that wrote the lyrics to the song It's So Easy from Guns N' Roses. And now, in his new solo album, he's, I guess, embracing the hashtag Me Too movement and movements like that. He's got two daughters, the 55-year-old McKagan now. And again, coming from a guy who wrote the lyrics to the Guns N' Roses song, It's So Easy, he said, I might have done that, but none of our friends or none of us ever said, grab her by the bleep. He's talking about Donald Trump and, Guns N' Roses, they didn't say it, they just did it. Back in the day, they didn't say it, but I found it interesting how he's talking about the Me Too movement these days. A guy in Guns N' Roses. All right, coming up on the show, we're going to tell you about a local weatherman who lost it on his audience on television. Stay tuned for that coming up on Bayou 95.7.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Isn't there a tornado, an unexpected tornado season happening right now that we're in the middle of in the Midwest in America?
Well, I wouldn't call it unexpected. It's a little bit late because through Tornado Alley, as defined by Oklahoma and that swath all the way through the country, it's generally several weeks earlier than this. We're in late May, and growing up in Indiana, we knew that's beginning in late March. All the way through May, you could have bands of tornadoes come through, and as opposed to hurricanes, there's no warning, and they come through day and night. I was watching coverage last night, and they said that a mile-wide tornado system was going through Kansas, and that the town of Linwood, Kansas, no longer exists.
How about
it's
that?
It's gone. That town is gone.
Is it safe to say, and look, we all know, obviously, hurricanes are bad, but is it safe to say tornadoes are worse? They are the worst thing Mother Nature can bring us?
No, because a Category 5, as we've seen all over the globe, can be catastrophic, but there is at least generally time to plan. I would say a tsunami is up there with tornadoes. Mm. We've seen videos of people who had no idea that a tsunami was bearing down on them, and boom, it's an instant wall of water with no warning. Tornadoes like that as well, that you don't know oftentimes until it's too late, and that's what leads us to what warnings we do have, radio and TV.
Well, I know Dayton, Ohio, in that metropolitan area, got whacked with a couple of tornadoes. A
couple days in a row.
Yeah.
Sunday and Monday.
Yeah, just recently.
Mm-hmm.
And so on one of their local affiliate television stations in Dayton, Ohio, Fox 45, they cut in to one of the shows that they were airing on television, The Bachelorette. They cut in because they wanted their meteorologist, their weather guy, Jamie Simpson, to warn everybody, look out, deadly tornadoes are coming through.
Right.
And that's...
Well, and then people took to social media with their opinion about the tornado warnings versus The Bachelorette.
Heavy rain is between you and the tornado. I was just checking social media. We have viewers complaining already. Just go back to the show. No, we're not going back to the show, folks. This is a dangerous situation, okay? It's nice rain. Think about this. This was your neighborhood. I'm sick and tired of people complaining about this. Our job here is to keep people safe, and that is what we're going to do. Some of you complain that this is all about my ego. Stop, okay? Just stop right now. It's not. I'm done with you people. I really am. This is pathetic. Dangerous situation here. All right, I'm sorry I did that. It just really bothers me that we have people that don't care about other people's safety around here. That's just ridiculous.
You know what's great when a local weatherman looks in the camera and says, I'm done with you people.
That's not really.
I really am.
And technically, the month of May is still going on, so they're in sweeps. And that's probably not going to make his highlight reel for sweeps.
Well,
I'm done with you people.
He might get a job in a bigger market than Dayton, Ohio, because I think a lot of America liked what he did. That has gone viral.
Well,
imagine there are some people as deadly tornadoes are ripping people's houses off the ground and throwing them 5 miles down the street,
right,
killing people. And by the way, those tornadoes in Dayton, Ohio killed people. There are people who are upset, like, why can't you put The Bachelorette on?
Right, right. Well, the
Bachelorette.
Weather people will tell you that is the dichotomy of weather forecasting. There are times where there are things actually going on, and the warnings are valid for you if you're in that area.
I want to see who this skank picks. Put The Bachelorette back on. Can I see the skank?
Here's a little here's a tale of true life from from Brewsterdom. This was many years ago when Laura Bucktel was still at Channel 4. She's since, I don't think she's in TV at all. I still see her on social media. But it was a Saturday afternoon, and I was watching golf, and they just kept breaking in and breaking in, and I guess I shouldn't pull back this veil, but most of these, how should I say this? Most of these, many of these, you like to say most or all, I'll say many. Many of these cut-ins are sponsored. And the sponsor, when there's weather, is like, why aren't we on the air saying things over our logo?
Slow down. There's a big difference between a live golf tournament on a Sunday afternoon, Saturday afternoon, getting interrupted, than the Bachelorette.
It was the third round. It was not the final round. But I was really into it. And so I got into like a little social media spat with Laura Bucktel at Channel 4. Because the information was, in my mind, not critical, not like this, not like tornadoes literally doing damage at that moment in Dayton, Ohio. I will tell you a more recent story. In fact, that was a couple of weeks ago. I'm trying to, on a Saturday, I'm trying to watch the Grand Prix from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And this is gets a little technical, so bear with me here. I'm watching, happens to be on Channel 6, and the forecaster, and I don't remember his name, the fellow with the beard, and I'm sure he's a nice guy, but he was, it's a weekend, he's there probably with not a lot of help, and he was kind of struggling to both broadcast the information and gather the information at the same time. So he wasn't quite ready. And then here's what happened on that particular day. Most of the, if you remember that Saturday, it was forecasted for all hell to break loose. And really some things happened in Mississippi, and I'm sure people had problems, et cetera, et cetera. I know there was, this is a different day than the flooding that affected the city in St. Bernard. This is a different day, as I remember it. But here's what was happening. A flood warning is being broadcast for Pearl River, okay? And maybe Hancock and counties in Mississippi. But someone has left a switch on to broadcast from the EAS or the weather system that is giving all the information. In fact, when we get weather alerts here, if we were to read that, it's 2 pages long. And so it's giving information like large hail, and it's all a robotic voice. It's not a human voice. It's large hail is possible. Mobile homes may be damaged or destroyed. Persons in the path of it's all extemporaneous information that is going out over the air that is not even affecting. Sure, it's the viewing area for Channel 6, but it's not critical to that moment. So I texted Margaret Orr. Margaret Orr doesn't know who I am. I don't say, hey, it's Brewster, and she doesn't care anyway. And so she was not hearing. She's watching the station, and she's not hearing that. I happen to be catching a feed of 6 from PlayStation 4. So now you get into a situation where not every viewer is seeing the same thing. There are moments on this station, if you're listening terrestrially over the antenna, you'll hear something a little different when we go to a commercial than you'll hear if you're listening on the app. So I thought that was very strange where I was complaining, and she's like, I don't know what you're talking about because I don't hear it. But apparently it was an engineering thing, and I just thought that was an interesting little aside.
I remember Laura Bucktel. I used to call her Milk Toast. I remember. I did a show with her once where we were on the same panel,
mm-hmm.
and I looked at her. It was in front of a crowd, and I looked at her and I said, Laura Bucktel, I said, you could play with my Doppler any day of the week. And people laughed, but then standing in the back was her fiance. She wasn't married yet, but her fiance, and he was just giving me a dirty look.
Right.
I had to walk out a back door.
Apparently, this town wasn't big enough for the two of you because she left.
I remember that.
I got one more little weather rant here.
I think it's going to be fine.
Good.
You know, yeah, it'll be fine.
All right.
Could be worse.
Yeah.
Has been worse. Well, because you guys are dragging me down. You guys keep... Well, every time I get done with the 7-day, you guys are like, oh, gosh. Oh. Every time.
Yeah, sometimes the forecasters get into it with their... with our cohorts on stage.
I'll tell you, the behind-the-scenes weather seems to be every bit as entertaining as the...
Yes, it does.
Is the real
weather. I wanted to play It Takes a Tough Man to Make a Tender Forecast, but we can't play that.
Well, Dayton, Ohio meteorologist from Fox 45, Jamie Simpson, wasn't happy.
No.
He later apologized, but hey, people are dying, and yet there are a lot of people that wanted to see The Bachelorette.
Right.
Want to see her make out and do sex with all of these guys and find out which one the skank is actually picking. Cares about tornadoes that are killing people here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. The classic rock of New Orleans. Did you see that video going around the internet? In China, the man catching the 2.5-year-old boy who fell out of the 5th-story window.
I missed that.
Really cool. A man did catch a 2.5-year-old boy who had fallen from a 5th-story window in China. The child was then taken to the hospital where doctors cleared him to return to work. Coming up next, we'll look at today in history. On this show, we call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. We hope you'll stay tuned for that report. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. It's time for us to look at today in history. And on this radio show, we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
May 29th. It was today in 1979.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Woody Harrelson's father is arrested for murder. This was before we all knew who Woody Harrelson was. He wouldn't make it until a few years later on the TV show Cheers. But today in 1979, his father, Charles Harrison, was charged with murder when Texas judge in San Antonio, Judge John Wood, known as Maximum John, is assassinated outside of his home there in San Antonio, Texas, as he bent down to look at a flat tire on his car. Oh, so that's premeditated. And Woody Harrelson's father, Charles Harrison, is the guy that got arrested, and he did it. There he was in prison. May 29th. It was today in 1988.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
President Ronald Reagan arrives in Moscow for the summit talks. The end of the Cold War. Reagan ended it. He said, well, it's time to turn up the heat. We don't need the Cold War anymore.
The Cold War, right.
Yeah, that happened. May 29th. It was today in 2005.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Danica Patrick becomes the first woman in history to lead the Indianapolis 500.
That is correct.
You know, her career never really panned out. She did okay.
Well, hang on just a second. Go ahead.
But I was going to say, I just saw last night on ESPN another one of their 30 for 30s. All of those 30, even if you're not a sports fan, I recommend watching them. Every one of them transcends sports, like last night. Janet Guthrie. It was all about her.
Right.
And she was the first woman to actually drive a car in the Indianapolis 500.
1977.
And then it was the next year in 78, she came in ninth. So the top 10 of the Indianapolis 500, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't want her around. They were intimidated. She couldn't get sponsors.
Well,
and she kind of just faded away.
The some of the other females to try to attempt to make the race have had the same fate, although she was in the race this year, Pippa Mann. But it is still the toughest row to hoe for women in the Indy 500 to get sponsorship and racing in general, except for Danica Patrick. Now, I will help you out here on some of the race-related stuff.
Is that because she was much more attractive and easier on the eyes than, let's say, Janet Guthrie was?
No. They both can drive cars, make no mistake. Danica Patrick came up through go-karts, and that is how you find out whether or not they can drive open-wheel cars or Indy-type cars on both ovals and especially on road courses. Danica, make no mistake, Danica could drive. Danica won a race in Japan. Some say yes, it was a fuel mileage win, but she won nevertheless. She was attracted by the almighty dollar to go to NASCAR, where she floundered for the next, I think, 9 years or whatever. And she basically ruined her reputation as a racer because she could not handle a 3,500-pound stock car. She was terrible. She was terrible. She should have stayed in IndyCar. She would, at this point, she would have already won the Indianapolis 500. There is no question.
And did she go to NASCAR because
more money? Yeah.
What's interesting, in the mid to late 70s...
It's not more money. It's all the money.
In the mid to late 70s, NASCAR was not more money than Indy 500,
correct.
IndyCars.
Correct.
But Janet Guthrie had to go over to NASCAR, and she did okay over there as well. But boy, when she finished
wouldn't
in the
define
top,
okay. No.
But when she finished in the top 10 in the Indy 500 in 1978, and then she had a tough time getting money, getting sponsors. A lot of people said that was sexism.
Yeah, you bring racing into this segment. Now we go off onto a tangent, and then we'll run out of time. But I definitely want to see that 30 for 30. No question.
It's a good one.
It was on this date, May 29th. In the year 2009,
why today doesn't suck.
Ozzy Osbourne files a lawsuit against Black Sabbath bandmate Tony Iommi for 50% or half of Black Sabbath's trademark and claimed Iommi illegally took sole ownership of the Black Sabbath name. The lawsuit would be settled out of court the following year. In fact, I have a DVD set that I got from, maybe the prize closet back in the day. And it's a live version, a live concert with Ronnie James Dio, with Geezer Butler, Tony Iommi, and I guess Bill Ward is on drums, or maybe Carmine Appice. But they can't use the Black Sabbath name. They use Heaven and Hell, the name of the first album of Black Sabbath with Ronnie James Dio.
I just read something.
It might be worth something. I've never opened it.
I just read where Ozzy Osbourne has some regret because when Sabbath got together for the last time, and they played their last show ever in Birmingham, England, where mm-hmm. they started. Mm-hmm. It was three of the original members. It was Ozzy, it was Tony Iommi, and it was Geezer Butler. But it wasn't Bill Ward.
Right.
And Ozzy Osbourne has regret about that. He wishes it was Bill Ward because the four of them started with nothing back then.
Right.
And to finish it when they were all multimillionaires, it would have been nice to finish it the way they started. He still wants to do one last show in Birmingham, England, with the original Black Sabbath guys. Included in that is the original drummer, Bill Ward.
And then run the Indy 500. It was on this date, May 29th, 1971.
Why today doesn't suck.
The Stones, the Rolling Stones, topped the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart for the sixth time with Brown Sugar, which spent 2 weeks on top. I think that song came out that year, yesterday. It was on this date, May 29th, 1972.
Why today doesn't suck.
Soon to be, but not yet, Sir Paul McCartney, basically did this, gave an up yours to the BBC. He released this day that year his interpretation of the nursery rhyme, Mary Had a Little Lamb, as a single in response to the BBC, having banned his last single, Give Ireland Back to the Irish. They were not down with that. Such a political statement at that time. It was on this date, May 29th, and I don't have the background on this. I'm going to look it up. 1977.
Why today doesn't suck.
Elvis walks off stage in the middle of a concert at the Civic Center in Baltimore. That's where I saw Stevie Ray Vaughan and the Moody Blues in 1983, but that was a different day. That's the first time Elvis Presley ever ended a show early by walking off the stage in that manner. And I've never heard this to this day, and I don't know why, and I will, as I mentioned, look it up.
Yeah, he walked off the stage, never returned. The drugs probably had a lot to do with it, because it was 1977. That's when he was the bloated Elvis.
Wow, that can't even be right, because I thought his last show, we had the poster in here, was in Indianapolis in 1976, I thought. We will do some research. And quickly, on this date, May 29th, 2002.
Why today doesn't suck.
David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar kicked off their co-lining headline tour at the Blossom Music Festival in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, right outside of Cleveland. We got time for some. Why am I going into fast mode?
Boy,
here? We got all kinds of time.
You just said that about Hagar and Roth.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool if Hagar and Roth played together with Van Halen, and they could do one set Hagar, one set Roth. You talk about that would make everybody happy.
Is Bill Ward on drums?
I don't think he'd be able to make it.
Then I'm not going. Birthdays today. Mel B is 44. A guy who has been around forever, and you would think, I'm going to say he's 45. He's actually 35. Carmelo Anthony. Doesn't it seem like Carmelo should be 45 or 55, not 35?
Boy. Yeah, and he did absolutely nothing for the New York Knicks.
Actress from Orange is the New Black and other things. Laverne Cox is 47. We'll play Hilo on this. How old, Osterlund, is LaToya Jackson? Go. 60 seconds on the clock. Where's the clock?
LaToya, that's LaToya. Michael Jackson's sister.
I broke the clock.
LaToya is 58.
Higher.
60.
Wait, let me put, I can't find the clock. Higher.
63.
Exactly.
She's wow.
63 today. Noel Gallagher is 52.
One of my favorites. Love Noel Gallagher. Great underrated songwriter from the band Oasis.
Underrated writer. That's why I couldn't. Those two don't sound like they should go together. A guy I like a lot, but I haven't watched a show in forever on Comedy Central. He turns 44 today. That would be Daniel Tosh. Funny guy. I was just really out there with his off-the-wall comedy.
Yeah.
Pretty much on Comedy Central, they let him do anything. Today is National Paperclip Day. Also, a day that we forgot yesterday, or maybe not forgot, we just missed it. Yesterday, May 28th, was National Hamburger Day. Did you enjoy a hamburger yesterday? Mm-hmm. Mrs. Brewster and I actually did. We celebrated National Hamburger Day yesterday with, I won't mention which chain it was.
I did not, because I didn't hear you say yesterday during Why Today Doesn't Suck that today was National Hamburger Day. I would have if you did it.
It was woefully lacking. Well, we'll make up for it today. Today, May 29th, for no particular reasons, so don't ask me. Today is National Coco Van Day. French for rooster with wine, basically. It's that delicious, rustic French dish. It's like braised chicken. It's like all the parts with like bacon fat or rendered bacon or pork belly, mushrooms, garlic, and traditionally red wine. Oh, it is delicioso. Can I use delicioso, an Italian term, in relation to the French coco vin? I guess I just did.
I got two more. May 29th, today is also National Senior Health and Fitness Day.
Okay.
This year's theme is Live and Thrive with Exercise.
Hmm.
But many seniors say they would just rather take a nap.
Yes.
And finally. It was today, May 29th, in 1973.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Record executive Clive Davis is fired from Columbia Records for misappropriating $100,000.
Hmm.
You know how when people say when one door closes in life, another one opens?
I've never heard that.
Well, for when Clive Davis, he thought, oh no, I just got fired. I'm a record guy for Columbia Records.
Hmm.
He went on to found Arista Records and become bigger than he ever became.
Yes.
So it worked out well, him getting canned
from
Columbia.
Look at that. That segment that we call...
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Why Today Doesn't Suck. Blah, 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 blah.
I love that Dutch Reagan comedy. He's something else. All right, coming up on the show, a guy who got fired from his job for doing something to himself in the bathroom, he just went to court because he's blaming mental illness. We'll see if that works. Coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So we've mentioned how it looks like the video recording of New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft getting a happy ending, two of them, in one of those Asian massage parlors. It looks like his lawyers were able to suppress those videotapes, video recordings.
Thank Christ.
Yeah, from being released. Who wanted to watch that? Although a lot of people they're saying it's not fair. The rich, just run everything. And anyways, we've talked about that before on the show. It looks like those video recordings are not going to be released. Meanwhile, he showed up, Robert Kraft, at game one of the NHL Stanley Cup Finals the other night in Boston because the Bruins are playing the St. Louis Blues. And the Bruins won game one, and they lead that series 1-0. Though when they showed the picture of Robert Kraft on the big screen, the play-by-play man for the St. Louis Blues, his name's Chris Kerber, said, quote, "They just showed Patriots owner Robert Kraft on the video board. I guess there are some videos he doesn't mind being a part of." Not bad.
Funny guy.
All right, coming up next, we're going to tell you about this court case going on, about the guy that got fired because he pleasured himself in the office bathroom. We'll tell you what his defense is, and we'll see if he has any chance of winning. That's next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. It was an interesting court case north of the border in Canada that I was just reading about. What happened was this guy got fired from his job because he went into the bathroom at work and he pleasured himself.
Show of hand, I think who all's been there?
Not only did he do that, and if you're wondering, okay, like Brewster said, if other people have done it, what's the big deal? How does this guy get caught? Because you'd think if you need to do that at work, you would try to be as low profile as possible, right? You'd go into the stall, you'd lock the stall, and, you know.
Do you always clear your throat when you do that? Can I get you a lozenge?
I'll take a lozenge. So what got this guy fired is the fact that when he was pleasuring himself at work in the bathroom, it got very loud. See, that's the thing.
If I can set that up on autopilot and we can take a break.
If it didn't get loud, he'd probably still have a job today. And evidently he started banging into the walls. And so
radio engineers all over the city are cursing you right now.
And so he lost his job for that. Well, he wanted someone else to rule if it was fair that he lost his job because he has a sex addiction. See? Now, you know, if you could say he's got an illness of some sort, maybe it could save his job, right?
Maybe he could file for, I don't know, disability.
Yeah, exactly. So he says,
stay home and do it.
Look, the reason I go into the bathroom and work and do that to myself is because I am mentally ill. I am sick. I have a sex addiction. And because of the sex addiction, I should have my job back. And when I go into the bathroom, just plug your ears. That's what he said. Well, an arbitrator, this happened in Canada, a little bit different, kind of similar to our laws, but a little bit different. An arbitrator north of the border found that a Canadian company was right to fire a male employee who pleasured himself loudly in the workplace bathroom and who tried to save his job by arguing that his sex addiction was a disability. And it's interesting how that was just described as a male employee. I wonder if it would have been different if it was a female employee, but it went out of its way to state the fact that it was a male employee. The employee worked for an aerospace company that operates in the airport up there in Halifax, Nova Scotia. His name, this is what bothers me about the story. His name has not been released. See, I think if you're gonna try to use self-gratification as a mental disorder because you have a sex addiction
a slot on your resume.
Yeah, I think your name needs to be right next to the story. I think your name, but a headshot too. I think this guy's name and picture should accompany this story, but it doesn't.
I think your name and picture should accompany this story.
When he was fired after fellow employees complained that they could hear him and his self-gratification in the bathroom. You know, we have issues with our bathroom here at Bayou 95.7. Sometimes people will leave things in the sink. Sometimes, you know.
Well, it's not in the bathroom. That's in our kitchen.
But, you know, every once in a while, you know, there might not be soap. Whatever the case may be, those are our biggest bathroom problems. Brewster, could you imagine? Remember, we got about five or six radio stations up here. Could you imagine if we walked into the bathroom here at Bayou 95.7 and there was somebody from another radio station locked in a stall? Could you imagine? Oh, now you need the lodgings.
I need me some time off.
Yeah, you know, some stories that we talk about, all kinds of different stories on the show. Some aren't as easy to talk about as others.
But we're the only thing on this radio station right now, so.
So the man was fired because the employees he worked with, some of them could hear him doing what he was doing to himself in the bathroom, and they say it caused them embarrassment and distress. Let me tell you something.
I can vouch for that.
But if they think they were embarrassed and distressed, how do you think this guy felt? In addition to his sex addiction as a disability argument, the man's union tried to argue that the man didn't receive a fair warning about his co-workers' complaints. You got to love unions. You know, they really stick up for their guys, even. So, okay.
That doesn't even make any sense. They really stick up for their guys. Well, that doesn't even make any sense. Go ahead.
Yeah, the man didn't receive fair warning about his co-workers. So he should have at least, his union is saying that he should have been warned at least once after he went into the bathroom and made all kinds of noise because of his sex addiction.
I'm getting texts here at 260-9595. Make dot it dot stop dot. Standard data and message rate supply.
Yeah, please don't text while you're driving. The arbitrator said that the case of the oversexed office worker was a rare situation for the labor board. Quote, neither the company nor the union's representative has been able to find any case dealing with self-gratification in the workplace. So there was no precedent. You see, a lot of times judges, they like to look through the history books. They like to look through the judicial records. They like to look through this. And they're looking for precedent. And they were looking. And they were looking. And they were looking. And they couldn't find another legal case where a guy lost his job because he went into the bathroom and pleasured himself. The man, during the case, the court case, the arbitration case, denied making moaning and groaning noises that he was accused of and assured officials that he kept the sound on his phone down when he used it to watch whatever he watched, the porn.
You're assuming it's porn. It's not necessarily porn.
To make him go into the office bathroom and then start.
It might have been the online version of Glamour magazine. I don't know.
Banging into the walls. Well, now there's precedent up there in Canada for people. And isn't it something how he tried to use a mental illness?
Well, that's all the rage these days. All the cool kids are doing it.
He tried to use a mental illness to get off. And it just didn't work. And I'm glad this Canadian arbitrator, I'm glad, you know, because I've heard things about Canadian arbitrators. I'm glad this guy stuck to his guns here. And I just don't like it when people try to take advantage of the less fortunate, the mentally ill, the sex addicted. Those people who are so addicted to sex, they can't get through a workday without going into the workplace John and taking care of themselves.
That's where you're supposed to clear your throat again.
I don't know if that's, I don't know if that's sex addiction. I don't know if it's mental illness. I don't know if it's all of the above. But he wasn't able to pull a fast one over this arbitrator up there in Canada. And now, good luck in his journey to find a new job, a new gig.
To get a handle on this.
All right. Coming up next on the show, Chris Kattan from Saturday Night Live just wrote a book. And what he said Lorne Michaels made him do is unbelievable. And it has to do with sex. Stay tuned. It's coming up.
Great.
Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So I've got in front of me the 20 most popular stores in the United States of America. And this includes restaurants. At the top of the list, number 20 and number 19 are Lowe's and the Home Depot. Those are number 20 and number 19. Wendy's is number 18.
May I ask why there's a list that has those that is not delineated further down than that?
It just says the 20 most popular stores in America. And they include fast food as stores. Wait till you hear one of them, Brewster, is going to blow your mind. So you got Lowe's, Home Depot, and Wendy's, 20, 19, and 18. Then you got Burger King, Rite Aid Pharmacy at 17 and 16. Are you ready for number 15?
No, because I'm looking at it.
You're not going to believe it.
Yeah. I wouldn't call that
The United States Postal Service.
Yes.
Because they have so many stores where you can buy your envelope or your stamps and envelopes, maybe if you need
I don't know anyone who buys envelopes at the post office.
What's incredible is their annual revenue is $69 billion, the stores of the United States Postal Service. Yet, the United States Postal Service, I think last year, lost $7 or $8 billion.
But what you're not adding, though, here, and we don't have time to go through all of these, the percent of total U.S. retail foot traffic that the Postal Service, I guess, retail locations, would you call them that?
I guess so.
Or stores. I don't call that a store, but 0.45%.
I call the money pit.
Well, you've never been in a post office in the last 25 years.
Sure
Come
I
on.
Have.
No, you haven't. Oh, you haven't.
Hey, we don't have Kroger around here, do we?
No.
Because they're number 14. Shell is number 13. Taco Bell is number 12. Dollar General is number 11. And number 10 is Dollar Tree. How about that? Two dollar stores. And then number 9 is Dunkin' Donuts. Number 8 is Target. Number 7 is CVS, the pharmacy. Number 6 is 7-Eleven. Number 5 is Subway. Number 4 is Walgreens. The third most popular store in America, Starbucks. The second, McDonald's. And, of course, you know the first. It's got to be Walmart.
And this is... See, this goes against how I like to see things delineated, being the budding wannabe sociologist that I am. This is referred to, I'm going to tell you what this is, and don't take this the wrong way, but this is, it's from usatoday.com, that rag.com, and it is clickbait. That's pretty much what it is, because it says, these are the 20 most popular stores in America, but they don't give you any indication as to why.
Well, money
making.
But
if you're, no, it's not money making. It's, I just told you what it is.
Foot traffic?
It's foot traffic. That's what it is. Because I just glanced through here and I told you that, which one did I say? I don't even remember.
That's right. You've got Walgreens at number 4, who had a higher revenue at $30.8 billion than McDonald's did at number 2, where their revenue was $21 billion.
So retail, postal service stores, whatever, 0.45%. That's number 15. By contrast, number 1, Walmart gets 2% of all U.S. retail foot traffic. Now, you'd say, well, 2% doesn't sound like much, but... so you go, the spread here is from 2% Please drive off the, please pull over the car until we delineate this list in its entirety, all these numbers.
Well, Walmart being number one besides foot traffic, Brewster, their annual revenue, they made $514.4 billion.
Sure.
And that is by far and away the most money that any store, any company made in America.
Right. But I'm just, and then Lowe's at the low end, the 20th, according to this list, most popular. They get 0.33% of all the available U.S. retail foot traffic. That's interesting.
I thought it was an interesting
It's just
list.
Mislabeled. It's mislabeled.
All right, coming up next, we're going to tell you actor Chris Kattan. He was on SNL. He just wrote a book. You're not going to believe what Lorne Michaels told him to do. That's next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans. And Lamarck Ford. So Chris Kattan, he used to be on Saturday Night Live. He's been in a few movies. He just wrote a book. Just put it out. And what he says, the head of Saturday Night Live, Lorne Michaels, persuaded him to do, is making headlines
and
this morning.
And before we get ahead of things here, if you don't recall Chris Kattan, he was in Saturday Night Live in the cast in the early 2000s, about the same time Carol and Sherry O'Terry, and when they were doing the cheerleaders, and then his one of his breakout characters was Mango, the over-the-top dancer slash. Well, he did a character that was like a... was it like a chimp, too? And those two kind of meld together in my mind. But he'll be most known for one of the what was their name? The two brothers from A Night at the Roxbury.
And that's his character. That character from the movie that became a movie.
Right.
That was an SNL skit, A Night at the Roxbury. That character is what's making news this morning. Chris Kattan says it is...
The Butabi brothers, that's
yes,
right.
Yes, that's who they were. And they were famous for being in the club, and when the beat would come
on... Hang on, I got it here.
Yeah, they were just... But he just wrote a new book, in what he is claiming that Lorne Michaels once pressured him to do is incredible. It's when the skit that became the movie... A Night at the Roxbury was becoming a movie.
What is love?
There we go.
Baby, don't hurt me.
I'm going to do it here. I'm not trying to do it without knocking my headphones off.
And this is when Will Ferrell and Chris Kattan would stand there and they would just move their heads back and forth.
It's just the two D-bags at any club, anywhere in North America on any given Friday or Saturday night.
Yeah, they weren't known as studs in the club. They weren't going to the club and having all kinds of success.
$1,000 suits and IQ is probably a tenth of that at best.
So when this skit that started on SNL was becoming a movie, Lorne Michaels really wanted Amy Heckerling to direct the movie.
Okay.
Now, Amy Heckerling in the early 90s, she had made it by then because... the first movie she ever directed was Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And I'm a big movie fan. And the director, you know, some people would say who the lead actor is or the lead actress is the most important part of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, that may be true. But the director is the man who makes the movie. And that's why no matter what movie you ever watch.
Man or woman.
Yeah, the man or woman. And no matter what movie you ever watch after they show the star, when they're doing the opening credits, the last name they always show right before the movie starts is directed by blank.
And actually, they don't do this every single time anymore, but actually, once you would have, you know, Paramount Pictures presents fade 2, 3, 4, and it might say, you know, back in the day, it would say, it would say a, give me an old-time director. It might say a...
Cecil B. DeMille.
A Cecil B. DeMille film. he would act, the director actually gets that. It is a blank film, their film. Really quick here, Fast Times, Johnny Danger, all directed by Amy Heckerling. Johnny Dangerously, National Lampoon's European Vacation, Look Who's Talking, Look Who's Talking To, nope. Look Who's Talking Now, Clueless,
yep.
A Night at the Roxbury, and some other ones that she may not want mentioned on the air.
Well, she's big. She's an A-list director, Amy Heckerling.
Yeah.
And Lorne Michaels really wanted Chris Kattan, really wanted Amy Heckerling to produce the movie or direct the movie A Night at the Roxbury. And in his new book, by the way, you know what the name of Chris Kattan's new memoir is? Baby Don't Hurt Me.
No, nice.
From that song.
Nice.
He says that Lorne Michaels called them up, told them that Amy Heckerling was on the fence and she was considering backing out of the project, mm-hmm. A Night at the Roxbury. So Lorne Michaels told Chris Kattan that Paramount Studios would only do the movie if Amy Heckerling signed on as a director, not as a producer. And Lorne Michaels really wanted to make sure that that movie happened. So, hey, Chris Kattan, I need you to keep Amy Heckerling happy. Chris, I'm not saying you have to bleep her, but it wouldn't hurt. Unquote. So
he put mango out there as bait.
Yes.
For Amy Heckerling.
According to Chris Kattan, Lorne Michaels said, hey, mango, go take care of Amy Heckerling. Now.
If you haven't seen the character Mango, just picture a man in the shortest possible spandex shorts you've ever seen. That's all you need to say. That's Mango.
When this just came out, a lot of media contacted SNL, and they denied Chris Kattan's claims, saying, quote, this did not happen. Show representatives from Saturday Night Live also said that the publisher never contacted them to verify the claims from the book. So, I guess when this book was in the process of being published, you know, when things like this are said that make you go, wow, in a book, usually the publisher picks up the phone or whatever the case may be, calls the people who are on the other end of that rumor and says, hey, this guy's writing this book and we're publishing it and he's saying this. And not only did SNL deny that Lorne Michaels told Chris Kattan to go make Amy Heckerling happy, but they're saying they never even got a phone call from the publisher asking if it was true or not, which they would have said, it's not true. Chris Kattan wrote it in his book, Baby, Don't Hurt Me. Quote, this is incredible. She thought it would be fun to have sex on Lorne's desk. Wow, what a great idea. Jesus. I said a polite bleep note to that. So we ended up going to her office and having sex on, yup, you guessed it, the casting couch.
I can't wait to hear the audiobook of this. I don't really care to read it, but I might want to listen to it driving in.
So Chris Kattan says he did sex with Amy Heckerling on her casting couch at the behest of Lorne Michaels, so Amy Heckerling would direct the movie A Night at the Roxbury. What's interesting is she did not direct the movie, she produced it. And there's a big difference.
Mm-hmm. I think Cecil B. DeMille did direct it, didn't he?
A Night at the Roxbury. Boy, talk about...
They did direct it.
Talk about it. He said, she said.
Well, it'll move some books.
What happens when a book comes out like that, says some things that make people go, wow, and then people who it's said about go on to deny it? Amy Heckerling has not said anything about this yet. So it's going to be up to Amy Heckerling to say, yeah, I either did sex with Chris Kattan on my couch or I didn't do sex with Mango on my couch. Chris Kattan continued in his book, saying he was attracted to Amy Heckerling, but at the same time was very afraid of the power she and Lorne Michaels wielded over my career, unquote.
Yeah, make no mistake, Lorne Michaels is a heavy hitter. He really is.
And so is Amy Heckerling.
His empire is not just Saturday Night Live.
Absolutely.
It is the production arm, film production arm, Broadway Video.
He decided, Kattan, Mango, not to tell anyone about the incident, but wrote that it put a strain on his already fraying relationship with actress Jennifer Coolidge.
Yes, that's, yes.
I like Jennifer. She's in all the mockumentaries.
Yes.
She's with Christopher Guest and the Spinal Tap guys. Yes. Jennifer Coolidge. She was in Best in Show. So maybe the sex with Amy Heckerling.
She was in American Pie.
Yeah, maybe the sex. Yeah, she played Stifler's mother.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the
there
sex.
You go again.
Maybe
you
the sex with Amy Heckerling cost him his relationship with Jennifer Coolidge.
To a lozenge. Now, is that a book that you would read? Is it a book that you would buy and read?
I don't know if I would
buy it. I like Chris Kattan. I always thought he was very good. Of course, he was in the shadow of, the monster giant shadow of Will Ferrell during his time there. I mean, they had some things together, like most notably A Night at the Roxbury, that sketch.
Adam Sandler helped out Chris Kattan a lot, too, a little bit.
I will tell you that if you follow me on social media, and it's not a plug for you to do so, but every year during the big game, I guess it's not around that time, so I can say Super Bowl. I'm not selling anything here. Chris Kattan is featured at the end of probably my top one or two favorite Super Bowl commercials of all time, and this is from Super Bowl XL 42.
The year before the Saints won
42. February 3rd, 2008. I'll play just a little bit of this for you. Diet Pepsi Max with ginseng. The setup is you see Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, and Aikman is describing the game in a fake kind of halftime way or whatever, and Joe Buck is going to sleep, as are all these other people at their workplace, until this happens.
Wake up, people! Diet Pepsi Max. The ginseng and more caffeine.
Cut to a dry cleaners where you see Chris Kattan picking up his dry cleaning.
Stop it!
Because the two clerks there are doing...
Couldn't get away from that song.
What is love?
Yeah. Again, Amy Heckerling could not be reached for comment. It's going to be interesting to see if she says, yeah, I did sex with Mango. I did sex with Chris Kattan.
You think that's what she'll refer to it?
And you asked me if I would read the book. I would read the book. I don't know if I'd buy it, but if someone just happened to have a copy.
You'll pirate it, certainly.
Well, I'm a big fan of...
You would do that to Mango?
I love history. I'm a big fan of documentaries, and I love stories.
Big fan of theft.
Well, not theft, but...
Pirating.
Sounds like it's...
You're part of the problem, not solution.
It sounds like an entertaining book.
You would do that to Mango. You would do that, too. Is he Steve or Doug Butabi? I'm not sure which one's which.
Who do you believe? You believe Chris Kattan, or do you believe the reps from SNL?
I believe Stifler's mother. I've always liked her. Right up my alley.
All right. Coming up on the show, we were talking about the Impossible Whopper and if it would sell at Burger King, and that's the meatless Whopper. I've got some numbers coming up. I'm shocked. Maybe there are a lot of health nuts who regularly eat at Burger King. Stay tuned for that report here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Hey, we've got the video for you, if you haven't seen it yet, of the weatherman going off on some of his viewers. The weatherman from Dayton, Ohio. Go to bayou957.com. And see that video, and we'll also put it up on the Bayou Facebook page.
What is the classic line there he has in the middle? He's chastising viewers who want to see the program that was on at the time, and he says, "I've had it with you people."
He says, "I'm done."
Yeah, I'm done with you people. He looks directly into the camera at his viewers and says, "I'm done with you people."
Yeah, we played it earlier in the show. He was mad because they had to break into a regular programming,
right,
which was the TV show The Bachelorette, because a tornado was, and tornadoes were whipping through Dayton, Ohio, and people were dying.
Right.
But yet there were some people that were very upset, and they were letting him know that on social media that we're missing The Bachelorette for this. Go back to The Bachelorette. They wanted to see the skank.
Right.
And he wasn't having any of it. So go to our website, Bayou957.com, if you haven't seen that video yet. It's worth your time. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So there are a bunch of people who have thrown their name into the ring to run for president, to be the Democratic nominee in 2020 to try to beat Donald Trump. Joe Biden, the former vice president, is at the top of that list, believe it or not. One guy who barely has 1 or 2% is making some news this morning. His name is Eric Swalwell.
I'm sorry, it's what?
Eric Swalwell, S-W-A-L-W-E-L-L. He's a state representative in California. He's a California lawmaker.
President Swalwell.
Yes, he launched his bid to become president last month, Brewster. But he's been struggling to get a footing in the extremely crowded Democratic primary.
He's been struggling to spell his name on the presidential application. Swalwell.
Here's why he's making news and why I even brought him up this morning. He just said the other day, I may be another white guy, but, and then you can fill in the blank.
Next.
He said, quote, a white guy who doesn't see other identities or understand other experiences should not be president. I do, according to.
How do you spell that?
Swalwell.
Spell that.
His name?
Yeah.
S-W-A-L-W-E-L-L. Doesn't have a ring to it, like following the word president?
You type that in Google, it doesn't even come up with anything. It comes up with zero hits. That's why.
I know.
That's his chances, too, zero.
The Taliban has a higher percentage of popularity in this country than Eric Swalwell.
Swalwell. And it's Eric. Eric Swalwell.
Eric!
And now the news with Eric Swalwell.
So what he's doing now, he's saying, look, and this is how some Democrats feel, that the white guy is to blame for everything. You know, why are young black males shooting each other in New Orleans all the time? Because of the white man.
Hmm.
You know, why is this happening bad? It's because of the white man. Why is that happening bad? It's because of the white man. And so this guy, Eric Swalwell, is saying, look, I may be, I'm a white man. You know, I may be the evil white man in 2019 in America.
Yeah, he's got no chance. He keeps saying that.
But I see, he sees that saying that is the only way he's gonna get anybody to pay attention to him. He says that he sees other identities and he understands other experiences. But isn't that something? I mean,
his name is something.
And there's a bunch of people who are saying, oh, it's the white guy. You saw that a lot with the abortion talk. You know the stricter abortion laws are going to be made by a bunch of old white men. Why should they have anything to say when it comes to a woman's health? You see that?
But yet Joe Biden is out in front.
We're going to get to him momentarily.
Oh, yes, we are.
But I just find it amazing in the year 2019 that a bunch of Democrats could say, it's the white man's fault. The white man's the oppressor. And if you're white, if you're heterosexual, and you're Christian in 2019, like I am.
Let's change your name to Pariah.
If you are, you basically have a target on your back. And you know, I used to say as a joke, hey, we've had a hell of a run, Whitey.
Right.
But I'm telling you, there are people that think it's time that we are the Antichrist.
Well, hang on with we there, Kimo Saba.
Well,
more on Joe Biden in a moment, but first, the news with Eric Swalwell. Shouldn't you? I mean, you just hear that. You just hear. Do you hear the canned teletype? I do. Rip and read.
Even Elizabeth Warren is laughing at how low on the totem pole he is when it comes to a Democratic.
Mm-hmm.
nominee.
Now back to Joe Biden.
Yeah, what did he do? He just did something else.
Joe Biden was apparently he took Memorial Day the weekend off, but he did something in Houston yesterday. He did a some sort of a town hall, and the details around it aren't really all the minutiae around it isn't really all that important, but. He answered a question apparently from a 10-year-old girl, and there's a bit of audio.
But I tell you what, honey, what I'm going to do, if you give me an address, I'm going to write you a longer answer and tell you the exact things I would do, okay? Okay? Promise? I'll bet you're as bright as you're good looking. I tell you. I tell
She's
you what.
10.
What's your favorite subject?
Journalism.
Journalism? Whoa. Whoa, I better be more circumspect in my answers. Those guys back there. Look, come here.
All right, so he asks her to stay. I mean, it seems harmless enough, and it probably is. It's a 10-year-old girl. He answers the question. He says, you heard the quote, I bet you're as smart as you are good-looking. And then he walks her to the back of the room and then continues, and he's got his hand on her shoulders, and it's not as bad as... The video,
the YouTube video.
If you put in multiple videos, plural there, if you put those in, put in groping and creepy Uncle Joe, but it's just he's already made a video admonishing himself that he's too touchy-feely. He says that's the way he is. He made the video vowing to respect women's personal space more. It's just he can't. I don't think this on its own merit is a big deal, but it's just why put yourself in that situation to where we're talking about it on the radio in conjunction with his history. Just knock it off.
Yeah, telling a 10-year-old girl how attractive she is.
Right, and then he's got her. He has to make the point of putting his hands on her shoulders while he's talking to a group.
You know, and some on the political left, you know, they look at the old white man as basically the Ku Klux Klan, the most evil. You could be, you know, you're old, you're white, you're heterosexual, you're Christian. You don't understand. It's not, you know, our country isn't like that anymore. That's what they're trying to say. And look who's leading the way for them to be president. The oldest, whitest guy you could find, who, by the way, has flip-flop on pretty much every big issue in his political career.
Right.
Do you realize how many black guys he sent to jail He was right with the Clintons when it came to changing the drug laws that sent all of the crack users to jail for a long, long time. He was at the forefront of that, and now he regrets that. There's about 50 things he regrets that he did, and basically he's flip-flopping. Now, look, you either take a stand or you don't.
Right.
I have more respect for someone that takes a stand and says, you know what, this might not be that popular right now, but I'm sticking with this stand, instead of someone who just flip-flops with the wind and just goes whichever way the wind blows. And the Democrats, some of them who think the white man is like the Antichrist now, they must just be cringing that Joe Biden has pretty much the best chance out of all of these other people to beat Donald Trump in 2020. They must be cringing. Really, that's the best we can come up with as a Democratic Party? This old white guy that sent so many black guys and black women to jail for many, many years with the tough crack drug laws. And you know, he wasn't for gay marriage. Now he is. He wasn't for this. Now he is. Boy, oh, boy.
Ironically, they both have birthdays in the upcoming month of November. Joe Biden is going to turn 77. Meanwhile, Eric Swalwell, whose birthday is also in November, will turn 39. Once again, now the news with Eric Swalwell. Eric Swalwell. Whose name you can say underwater or above water, and it sounds the same. And now the news with Eric Swalwell. Make me stop.
The measles literally are more popular than Eric Swalwell because there are more anti-vaxxers out there than people that know who or want to vote for Eric Swalwell.
They're certainly easier to say.
Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. I'm very simple when it comes to...
You are. You stop right there. You're very simple.
When it comes to life, and especially eating. I've said I only eat about 12 to 15 things.
Is it up over 10 now?
I'm going to prove.
Woo, look at you.
I'm going to prove a point how advertising works. The other day I'm watching television. I see a Burger King commercial come on. They say, we've got the crispy chicken parmesan sandwich. And I've always liked when they had the chicken parmesan sandwich at Burger King. I don't know why they don't have it on the menu year-round. As soon as I saw that, Brewster, I stopped what I was doing. I got up and I went to Burger King and I got a couple of chicken parmesan sandwiches. That proves that advertising works.
On you. It works on you.
Well, I think it works with many people. And you and I, Brewster, could do commercials. If you have a business and you're listening right now, we can do your commercials.
Absolutely.
And one other thing about Burger King. The meatless Whopper is testing fantastic in the St. Louis area. And it looks like they say foot traffic. It's in 59 eateries. And after a month, after 29 days, foot traffic in those eateries in the St. Louis market are up 18.5%. So it looks like the meatless burger, the new fake meat Whopper, whatever you want to call it, they call it the Impossible Burger. It looks like it's going to come to all the Burger Kings in America. And that proves that health nuts are eating at Burger King.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Science. There's your proof.
I don't think I'd get one, but... All right, coming up next, it's our commercial free ride, and I'm not happy with the Louisiana State Legislature. We'll tell you next why on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Alex Trebek says he's pretty much in remission from that deadly cancer he had as the greatest player in Jeopardy history, James Holzhauer, won his 29th game in a row last night.
I now permit you to speak about him because it's not a spoiler, at least for me. I'm now caught up, so...
He'll pass Ken Jennings, I think, on Monday or Tuesday.
Did you see one of his opponents last night, a guy named Jim Bob? I thought, can you imagine if Jim Bob takes down James Holzhauer?
That would have been something, huh? And if you have missed him, watch him. The greatest guy who ever played Jeopardy, he's on it right now. That's just about going to do it for the show tonight. Thanks for listening. And coming up next, it's Ginty, Bayou 95.7.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.